is Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. On Friday, Dr. Antoine Garibaldi will end his tenure as president of the University of Detroit Mercy. He will return as a tenured professor in educational psychology after taking a sabbatical, but his impact on the university deserves a moment of reflection. He was both the first African-American president and the first lay president of the university, and he more than tripled the school's endowment since he came here in 2011. He was dedicated to increasing student enrollment numbers, particularly for first-generation college students, and he welcomed the largest freshman class in school history this academic year. With so many successes, we wanted to bring him on to talk about his experiences, his plans for the future, and share a couple maybe of his leadership lessons with you. Dr. Garibaldi, welcome to Detroit Today.
Thanks so much, Steve. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Yeah. So start with what you're most proud of during your time at UDM. It's been 11 years. What is the accomplishment that stands out in your mind?
Well, I think the most important thing is that we are a much stronger institution, both financially and also with regard to academic reputation. I have to plug Councilwoman Gabriela Santiago Romero because she is a graduate of the University of Detroit Mercy and was an undergraduate when I was just coming here in 2011. We've been able to attract a lot of outstanding students as a result of a lot of different initiatives that we have put in place, including our tuition recess, reset, our marketing, and then our fundraising. But I think I'm most proud of the community and civic engagement that really has expanded here at the university. And you're aware of Lift Six Alliance and a number of other initiatives that we have implemented with our now four campuses around the city, three in the city, and then our new campus in Novi. So it's really been a combination of initiatives that we've put together, and really pleased leaving the presidency on a strong note.
So let's talk about the university and kind of where it sits at this point in the city. I think that's a really important part of what UDM is. It's not just an academic institution. It's part of the city. It's part of a neighborhood. That's changed an awful lot over the 11 years you've been here.
Yeah, it has. And when I think about it, I think about the fact that the origin of University of Detroit started 145 years ago in 1877, and Mercy College of Detroit started in 1941. So you have two institutions that have been in the city for a very, very long time, and making sure that the neighborhoods are very, very closely associated with the university is extremely important. People talk a lot about town and gown relationships, and sometimes it's not as strong. I feel very, very strongly about the fact that through our seven colleges in the university, that we're all engaged, whether it's a law school, a dental school, a school of architecture, liberal arts and education. And that's the way it should always be. And so we've really spent a lot of time focusing in on those initiatives. When I started, I did not know how that was going to come about, but I had success at both Gannon and also my days at Howard University and Xavier University in New Orleans. And so we've had great success because of the support that we've gotten from philanthropic organizations like the Kresge Foundation in particular, but also because our alumni have really rallied, not just in terms of their contributions to the university financially, but because many of them from 50, 60 years ago and 70 years ago can say the university was heavily engaged in this McNichols neighborhood when they were students and even when they were downtown on Jefferson Avenue.
Yeah. You are a lifelong educator and somebody who has thought a lot about access to higher ed and expanding that access over time. You noted in a past column in Bridge, Michigan, that we are not doing well enough in Michigan with higher ed attainment or higher ed access. At UD Mercy, you've really been focused on expanding those things and focused on first generation college students. Talk about that work and how important it was.
Well, sure. More than one third of our students are first generation college students. And people are sometimes surprised at that because of the fact that we are a private institution. But three of the four institutions that I've been in have been totally private institutions. So Howard University is a little different because it gets support from the federal government. But that support from Howard, which coincidentally started in 1867, just 10 years before this institution, was really devoted to providing educational opportunities for African-American students. And we've worked hard at it. Michigan has less than 20% of its population between 25 and 64 years of age that have received a bachelor's degree. We have lots of work there, and many of those individuals did not get a college degree because there are lots of opportunities to work in the manufacturing world and lots of other occupations. But today, many of our young people are looking for those opportunities to get a post-secondary education. And so we have to make it not only affordable, but we also have to get into the schools and make sure that students know that you really do not have an option. You have to get some form of post-secondary education. And we have seen a declining number of 18-year-olds who've been graduating from high school. And that's really have been, it's a more of a population decline there as opposed to students not wanting to go to school. So if we're going to build a boundless future, as we use as our motto, we have to make sure to be much more aggressive about that. And the majority of the students nationwide who are going to be in college over the next 10 years are going to be students of color. Those numbers have consistently increased, while the numbers of students who are white have been declining. So it takes a very, very strong initiative in order to make those happen. And so if we had 40% of our students, first generation college students, I'd be very, very happy. The fact of the matter is that lots of students were there, and we need to make the case for them that college is indeed affordable.
I'm talking with Dr. Antoine Garibaldi. He is the president of the University of Detroit Mercy. He is retiring on Friday from that position. We're talking about his tenure at the university and what he plans to do once he steps away. If you have questions for him or comments about the University of Detroit Mercy, a really important higher ed education or higher ed institution here in the city, give us a call. 313-577-1019 is the number on the phones. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to social media, put comments there. Dr. Garibaldi, I want to talk about what happens after Friday. You've mentioned that you're interested in writing and have gained a lot of experience, of course, as a leader, and learned a lot of things that you want to share with the world. Give us a preview. What's next for you?
Well, I want to write a book on, from a leadership perspective, on how we have been able to turn the university around, not just this university, but also Gannon University, where I was president for 10 years. And I could say very much the same at both Howard University and at Xavier University, where I spent 20 years of my professional career. I think there are lots of lessons to be learned, and sometimes they're very, very fundamental. But when you begin to talk about the little things that you do in order to make those things happen, I think it really comes to life and people realize that, okay, it just didn't happen overnight. It took a lot of time. There are many people in the community who know that I did hear what I've done in other places, which is I started going to all the high schools. I started meeting the principals, the counselors. Well, I'm an educator by profession, and so spent some time in elementary school, even ran an alternative high school for the Urban League in St. Paul, Minnesota, for students who were suspended and expelled from students and students who were not going to school. So it's a very easy conversation that I have with them. And I attribute a lot of our success sometimes to our reconnecting with principals and also counselors in order to for them to identify prospective students. So I really want to write about that. I want to talk about how Live Six Alliance came to be. And I said a little bit about that a few weeks ago when Rip Rapson came and spoke at my celebration dinner at the university. But one of those things that just began to develop as I initially started talking about the fact that we needed to make some significant improvements around the neighborhood in order to be able to attract more students and also to bring our alumni back. So that's a 4.5 year story in before Live Six Alliance was actually created. And I want to talk about some of the pieces of that and how we got many of our businesses and residents in this area to come together and support that, and how Kresge Foundation provided a large share of the financial backing in order to make that happen. So I'm looking forward to that. I've written bits and pieces of it, so I want to put it together in book form so that others can read it too.
Yeah. Okay, Antoine Garibaldi, president of University of Detroit Mercy, congratulations on your upcoming retirement. This community, of course, is going to miss you in that role, but look forward to seeing what's next for you and what impact it has on higher ed and on the city of Detroit. Thanks so much for joining us here.
Thank you for all your support, Stephen.
Yeah. Okay, that is going to do it for us today. Come back tomorrow when we are going to continue discussing the U.S. Supreme Court's decision to obliterate Roe v. Wade. We're going to talk with University of Michigan law professor Richard Primus about what this means in a democratic context. How much legitimacy should we be attaching to what the Supreme Court is doing? And how do we restore more faith, not only in that branch, but also the democratic branches? This is 101.9 WDET-FM, Detroit's NPR station, your connection to news, music, and conversation. We'll talk again tomorrow.